From India's largest newsroom, I'm Meenal Bagheel, and this is the Times of India podcast.
I first met Uncle Neil in 2008. It was at a concert, and I had first joined his sister's choir. That was the first concert that we had done, and he was there in the audience. And by that time, already the Shillong Chamber Choir was a very recognized name, and you know, a massive name. There he was in the audience, and afterwards, after everybody had left, he called me back on stage. The hall was empty. It was his piano actually that was being used, and the choir, the Shillong Chamber Choir this time, was around the piano, and he asked me to sing again. And I remember the first song I sang with Uncle Neil on the accompaniment was "You Raise Me Up" by George Grogan. And then he said, "Would you mind singing the prayer with Iba?" Iba is our lead soprano, and even those times she was known as this childhood prodigy. And I was starstruck. I was in awe. I was overwhelmed. And then we sang. And then the accompaniment that I heard Uncle Neil play, not anything like virtual to say, but the soul behind it was absolutely, it stirred up my soul as a singer. And I said, this is amazing, you know, whatever he could do on the piano. And then I was still studying in Delhi at that time. So I was supposed to leave the day after. So he said, why don't you come just for a little while? And then I think that was the best decision I've ever made in my life.
The death of Neil Nongkin Rhee at 51 from surgery-related complications at a hospital in Mumbai marked the loss of the Northeast's biggest cultural ambassador and one of India's great music icons. Neil, who trained at the Trinity School of Music and at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama, worked as a concert pianist in Europe for 13 years before he returned home to Shillong. Once back home, Neil Nongkin Rhee swiftly recovered his energies and lost little time in putting together a troupe of fellow musicians. He called it the Shillong Chamber Choir. He not just harnessed their musical talents, but in many cases changed lives, says lead tenor William Richmond, who was studying English honours at St. Stephen's in Delhi and gave up his education midway to come train with the man he calls Uncle Neil.
The choir was a result of my being in Shillong, and it started off with no big ambition really, just to gather some people around, give them a chance to sing a variety of music. And then it just got bigger. Now it got known in India and even abroad.
Neil could have made it very big abroad because he had met with some of the celebrities, film stars and all, you name them, he knew them, you know, and but this, there is in Khasi people, I'm a Khasi, Neil was a Khasi, this desire to return home, this desire to share the learnings gained from abroad with their own people. And that was Neil. He really wanted to start something. And so even the name Shillong Chamber Choir, there was a lot of discussion in the early formative years. We had a little group and we tossed around, you know, several names, then questioned ourselves whether it should be called a choir, because people usually associate a choir with church music. But Neil was so versatile. He played church music. He played he played rock and pop and Bollywood and opera. You know, if you happen to listen to the Shillong Chamber Choir, they are so versatile. They surprise you actually, and they've played for presidents, for prime ministers, for ambassadors, for royalty.
That's journalist and family friend Patricia Mukhim on the early days of the Shillong Chamber Choir before it went on to become a global name in the musical world.
He could have spent a wonderful life there, but the calling for him was to come back home, to share his experience, to share his love for music, knowing that the people here are very musical, but they didn't have anyone to really train them, you know. So he trained these young people. One of them happens to be my son, Mervin. Mervin, of course, he and a girl sang the duet called the duet from the Phantom of the Opera. That was magical. And that was at the first concert that Neil had in Shillong. And we were all pushing tickets for sale. You know, we went and settled the, we have this hotel Pinewood, which is one of the best. So we settled chairs there and we tried to fit in as many chairs as possible because, you know, we were trying to get a new piano for Neil. And short of stealing, we begged, we borrowed, and then we got that piano. And from the musical concerts, the payment that came from the musical concerts, we paid back for that piano, little by little.
Patricia, as you yourself wrote in your wonderful tribute, that Meghalaya is full of musical talent. I mean, there's so many talented singers and musicians. What was his contribution that makes him so special?
He actually was an ambassador at large. You know, he reached out to the whole world. He was everywhere. He, for his funeral, we had people coming in from Norway, from the UK, from wherever. That's how close people were to him. And so he had, he was a cut above the rest in that he was very friendly with Amitabh Bachchan. He was friendly with Siddharth Basu. He did, they did that opening of Kaun Banega Karorpati at one time. And then they did that Atish Bazia with Shekhar Rabjani. And, you know, so he, they all loved him for whatever reason, because he was, Neil was very lovable.
In 2010, the rest of India outside Meghalaya became acquainted with the divine music of the Shillong Chamber Choir when they appeared and in fact won the popular TV show India's Got Talent. Their mix of classical music, gospel, rock and roll and Bollywood dazzled judges and audiences alike, says the show's producer and Neil's longtime friend Siddharth Basu.
Usually you have quite a variety of the kind of acts which come on to India's Got Talent. And this was one kind of performance and music and performing art, which was not usually represented. And we were looking for lots more of that to really get the full spectrum of the kind of cultural expressions we have in the country. And we heard about them. Made some efforts to try and get them on. And there was a large group. At that time, they were about 16. And I remember at the Calcutta auditions, it was at the Science Center in Kolkata, which is in a huge sort of auditorium over there. And we had a motley crowd of performers, and the first sight was of... how should I say, a brood walking up the steps of the Science Center with a portly Neil Nonkintry in the lead. And these very, very elegantly dressed sort of, you know, choir, especially the ladies when they came onto stage, it was in black. I don't know exactly what the, you know, what the dresses are called, with little gold sashes. And they performed a medley of Khasi and Bollywood pop and possibly ABBA or some popular thing, and they put it together and just blew the audience and the judges and all of us away. So that was really the first experience of meeting up the group. I know that the production team were trying to cope with the requirements because he wanted a grand piano on stage. And when you're out in the camp, as it were, trying to organize something like that, and preferably a Steinway to get it onto stage and in and out and of the performance, but our production team sort of were up to the mark and they made very good friends with the troupe. Neil had a sense of the kind of music he was doing, and he was, you know, which was really, he was a classicist. That doesn't mean that he only wanted to do Mozart and Beethoven. When he said classicist, he meant music which had the sort of quality and excellence and timbre and depth which would last, which would have a timelessness about it. He was very clear about that. And whatever he did do, even the most popular sort of songs, there were in the treatment, in the arrangement, in how they would perform it, that was very clear to him. That was one aspect. The other aspect, of course, that they were a devout group. And yes, really, their roots were in gospel music. And that sense of spirituality came through in what they did. And they put that into the mix in a very open way, in a very Catholic way. And I don't mean religiously Catholic, in the sense that being open and being eclectic. And remember, the signature of the choir is, in everything that they do, is, and in what Neil did, was to blend harmony with melody. Harmonies, Western classical music, harmonies and harmonies in music is not that intrinsic to Indian music, which is very strong with melody and with expression. He put the two together and he blended it very beautifully. And when they sang together, that those harmonics was new, certainly to popular television, in the way that they did it.
Yes.
And also the way they were presented, and it brought a part of the country to the map in which it has never been done before. We used to have a lot of discussions, some arguments even, on what they should perform, what they should not perform. I got to know Neil then, and I played a small part in persuading him to elevate the popular. And in the end, they won that season of India's Got Talent. Not just in terms of the judges who were completely sold on them and looked forward to their performances, but in the end, they had a whopping amount of votes, certainly from Meghalaya and the Northeast, but also from all over the country. He was, in many ways, a perfectionist. He had a very grand and audacious vision of, you know, what he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it. Even then, he was germinating and developing a grand Khasi opera, which is one of his unfinished works.
Mm.
We've heard bits of it, and he, presented a bit of it last year at a meet in Jaipur. You know what it was, and I've seen a 20-minute video of that, and it is stupendous. You know, on what it does to put a language which is fighting to exist, to be recognized, and a culture, because it's from a Khasi folk tale, Solingham, and to put it in the form of an opera in the language that he spoke in his mother tongue. Well, it was a fantastic work that was still there in his mind. That was part of what he was doing. They had done a lot of music. They'd gone to different parts of the world, I think, thanks to the ICCR. They'd send them to various places. And they'd made a mark in different places because they had some exceptional talent there. They were a tremendous sort of group. They were, you know, and the way they get together, and very selfless in their performance. And when they put it together, but that sense of excellence, what they put together, they would create a cathedral of sound there, and it would waft. And it was really very beautiful. It was like listening to angels sing.
Years later, Siddhartha Basu would go and spend a few days at the Gurukul or the commune that Neil Nankinri had created and shared with members of the Shillong Chamber Choir. It was on this trip that Siddharth says he got a full sense of Neil's remarkable personality and his philanthropic work.
They invited us, they've been inviting us over to Shillong, and we actually visited Whispering Pines, which was, you know, where they lived. And Gurukul is one way to express it. In my terms, it was really like a commune. It was, they lived together, they cooked together, they sang together, rehearsed together, performed together. They did everything in the same place. And he was like a master conductor in the middle of it. They had a sort of chicken shed, which they converted into a rehearsal hall where they used to shoot, and also occasionally in a concert thing.
Oh.
So that visit when we went, it happened to coincide with my wife Anita's birthday on October 2nd. And they mounted a complete concert for her over there in that converted chicken shed, and which
Lovely.
Was wonderful.
Lovely.
Which is outstanding. And then before that, after that, for 3-4 days, they were looking after us, his brood of chicks, as it were, but with such generosity and such care. And I remember the first day he was under a sort of tree on the outside. You know, it was October, very pleasant with a little nip in the air, and in a giant vat. He used to love food and he used to love cooking. He was brewing a stew, you know, and tossing in little spices and whatever it is, you know, like a conductor, as it were, and everybody around him. He was, in some senses, of course, a guru, but also almost a cult figure. There were strict rules within that commune. It was not a, how should I say, a Woodstock commune. They were also, as I said, apart from singing and rehearsing and teaching, because he ran a school for little kids, and apart from living together, performing together, touring together, he didn't always tour, but the rest of the tour, they prayed together several times a day, and in their manner of very fervent prayer, you know, would sit in a circle and they would lead, somebody would lead, and they meant it so much. That was very important for them. You know, and then we did it. Their faith was a strong part of it. Some members of the troupe, you know, were people who were just talented, came together, some from very modest backgrounds and means, who had come into the group, who were looked after, who took it there and made it their own. So there is that sense of a very strong togetherness in the choir. They're not individuals who come together just for the music. It's a life bonding. You know, as it were, that's what came through in the music as well.
And that's what, you know, Neil created. I mean, quite a remarkable cultural figure in that sense. We don't have too many of those.
Absolutely. And then they became ambassadors, not only for Meghalaya, for the country, performed everywhere. And they were constantly in ferment, because Neil was somebody who liked to think big in what he wanted to do, what he wanted to figure out. Just before he left, they just completed a mega project of 3 albums of devotional music. He was disturbed by, you know, what was happening in COVID for 2 years. When he would call, he would speak for 45 minutes, 1 hour, 1.5 hours. And, you know, it was so much on his mind, what was happening everywhere, and the human cost and the suffering and everything like that. And he wanted to hold out hope. So he did... He worked on these 3 albums of devotional songs, one in English, one in Hindi, one in Khasi, 11 songs each. He got an orchestra in Prague to perform it, because he composed and arranged it. They ran something called Uncle's Ark, you know, out of their home, where all of them would make sure that they would supply through people in PPE kits, food, and groceries and what have you to people in their homes. And he was supporting 6 villages along with it, with food.
Quite
so he
smart.
Was also a philanthropist and activist and wanted to do things. A man of many parts, a very interesting man, a complex man.
Neil Nongkin Rhee's sudden death may have shocked his legions of fans and friends, but the lead tenor of the Shillong Chamber Choir and Neil's musical inheritor in a way, William Richmond, says the last few months of his life were marked by a sense of urgency and can be seen in the last song that Neil recorded.
To go to another world where I'll have to go alone.
I think Uncle Neil had a gift from God, and that gift was to never remain stagnant. A certain fear, a certain uncomfortable drive that he just could not bear remaining where he was in anything that he did. Whether it was cooking, he could not cook maybe a fantastic stew or a dal the same way he did previously. He just could not stand it. He said, I have to keep pushing and reinventing. He himself could not bear it. And when you yourself could not bear it and you're doing something about it, it translates into those people who also have come into your life. And I am someone who's exactly the opposite of that by nature. I am a very chilled person. I just like to do nothing and let life pass and just exist. But I thank God that I met someone like Uncle Neil, who has transformed my life completely. And I drank of that spirit, and so has everybody else in the choir. You know, where now we just can't remain the same. We have to continue evolving. And even now, without an Uncle Neil, that is what we have to do. So that made our lives together so exciting. Things like the opera, he has written, it's lying there, about at least 2.5 hours of music. And I can say it's almost 80 to 90% done. And that has been his heart's desire. And his heart's desire shall come true. I say that with absolute faith and also assurance. And there's so much. There's scripts, there are movie scripts. We worked on short films. We wrote stories together. And the biggest thing of his life and why he could not remain stagnant, because that would keep one's spirit also very dry and dead. And in order for him to be alive, he had to do those things, you know. And we just love to sit and we love to read the Bible together. We love to pray together. And believe it or not, even though Uncle Neil is not here anymore, that still continues. These past few days have been a tremendous comfort, because those who have been around him, who are here now, you can see that it's there. You know, we are moving on. We are treading on forward. And like I spoke in the funeral, I said, we shall continue and we shall not just uphold it. We shall improve on it and we shall grow on it. Because if you remain stagnant, that will sorrow the heart of God and man. And we shall, and he has taught us tremendous principles and morals, which are the foundations that he's laid musically, personally, spiritually. And with that solid foundation, that is how we're going to take it forward. And the beauty is that we have one another.
Can you talk a little bit about the last projects for which all of you were in Mumbai? This project to record gospel album in Khasi and in English and in also in Hindi, I believe.
That has been his heart's desire for years, to give a spiritual album to the world. Everybody knows us as this Bollywood act and, you know, fun and whatever. But little do they know about the spiritual side of the choir, which is actually the side which holds us together. If it was just music and Uncle is not here, we would be crumbling. We would be absolutely devastated to the point of no return. But here we are back again performing on the 21st for Meghalaya Statehood Day. So that's
50 years.
50 years, yes, yes. I'm looking forward to that. And the last piece that he composed, one of the last pieces, was the state anthem. Imagine. What a story. He always manages to, some story or the other follows him. It's amazing. The spiritual album was born out of tremendous sorrow for what was happening in the world because of the pandemic. We were watching a news clip and there was a man who lost an old man in the village in India who lost his wife and who lost his two children, his only two children, and he was left to look after his grandchildren. And we were watching it, and he was crying there in front of camera, and he said, the only thing that gets me waking up in the morning is to listen to old 50s Lata Mangeshkar songs. And Akni said, this is it. Now is the time. Let's give it. Let's give the world the spiritual album that they need for healing, you know, for bringing a sense of calm and peace. And there we were, young guys, you know, thinking, you know, that Uncle, no, we can't. We've not gone on stage for the past 18 months. We're not exactly in the best financial position to invest in something like this, because no one will come and invest in a spiritual album. It doesn't make commercial sense for them. Although it would do their spirit a world of good, but anyways, few people like that. First we said, let's do it in our studio. Let's keep it simple. We'll do it fine, no problem. Akhil, you orchestrate it. You play the piano. It will be, that's it. Let's give them that. He said, no. When we give God, we have to give God the best. And when Akhil says best, he does not mean best according to, he means Czech Symphony Orchestra. He means shooting in the Prague Opera House in the middle of a pandemic. He means getting the best orchestrator on board. He means going to the best studios and giving God the best. And we were just there. And by the way, he knows nothing about how much money we have. He never handled money since I've known him for the past 13 years. He doesn't know how to use an ATM. He does not know how to use a credit card. And he does not know, he's never held cash in his hand. So for him, money is never something that will bind him. You know, he's not calculating. And I said, but actually we don't, and we'll never tell him how much we have in this and that. Let him be who he is. But he said, when you give God the best, God will also give you the best. And you just see, just go for it. And then find, in faith, we went for it. And one door after the other just started opening. And all his heart's desires were fulfilled. All of that which he wanted, the Czech Symphony Orchestra, 40-member orchestra, and this and that, it was all done. And there he was on his 9-foot Steinway Grand, which is these videos will come out soon. And then there at the ICU, I had the privilege and the honor to be next to him before he went in for his operation. And I said, Uncle, you believe it or not? I said, the sopranos just finished all the songs today. All the 33 songs, I mean, the main voice is done. And he just smiled. And he didn't know the extent of everything. He's like a little child many a time. He just thought he's just going in and coming out like that. And his last words were, I'll see you soon. I said, yes, I'll see you soon.
Today's episode is produced by Arun George and Sunay Marathe. For a daily spotlight on people, ideas, and stories that matter, subscribe to us. We are available on TOI Plus, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and all other platforms of your choice. For any news tips, reach us at toipodcasts@timesinternet.in.